All right, I'd like to share a little bit about myself. Brother Doug shared most of it, but I'll share a little bit more. I just graduated high school Thursday evening, Marbury High School. I've been pastoring. This may be my fifth time preaching. God called me into the ministry roughly 6 months ago. He's been living in my heart for about a year now. And I surrendered to the ministry. I will attend Jeff State. And then I'll go to seminary right here in Montgomery and maybe Birmingham. But I feel that God has given me a message for y'all. Brother Clint called me and asked me if I'd fill in for him. And I'd never met him. I'd never been up here. I'd never been up this part of town. Never seen this church before. But anytime that God gives me opportunity to share the gospel, share the message that his son Jesus gave to us, it's a blessing. And I told him, sure. If you have your Bibles, I'll be preaching on Romans chapter 12. I want to talk about our relationship with God, having a healthy relationship with God. I'll go ahead and read that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to bounce back and forth from Malachi chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to use it as a reference, and I'm going to show you how they sacrificed themselves, how the sacrifices were in Old Testament and how they are in New Testament, how God has shown us to be sacrifices. In Old Testament, they sacrificed animals. They had burnt offerings. The Old Testament offered animals, and now in the New Testament, right here in the Scripture, God wants us to sacrifice ourselves. He wants us to be living sacrifices, just like Noah was. Noah didn't know what he was going to do, what he was doing. He thought it was crazy, a crazy idea, and he followed through, and God prospered him. God wants us to daily lay our lives down for him, as said in the Scripture, and fall to our own sacrifice, our own desires. He wants us to lay our own desires down and follow him. Paul warned Christians, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world. They are usually selfish and corrupting, as of the flesh. The Bible tells us that our flesh is deceiving and it is nothing of God. And Paul tells us to lay our flesh down, to die to our flesh. God wants to transform us. When you walk into salvation, when God walked into my heart, he transformed me. I never thought I'd be up here speaking to you guys or anybody with a mic on my shirt, and I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus, and he wants to transform you into a new person. But the only way that can happen is to surrender to God, to let the Holy Spirit move in and let him transform you so you can be something honoring to him. And once you do that, God guides you, and you're in his will, and he is in you, and he tells you what to do. This isn't my word. This is his word. He's telling me what to say. He told me what to say. I'm going to read Malachi chapter 1, kind of give you, show you what I'm going to compare, how the offerings were back then. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is the priest who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have you shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or deceased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. In that passage right there, he's talking about the priest in the church in the Old Testament. They're bringing God wanted blemish-free animals to be offered in His name, something pleasing to Him. And they were bringing the lame, the weakest of animals that they had in their herds, and they were offering them to God. And the priest wasn't doing him justice with the sacrifices they were offering. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or deceased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Of course, we don't offer burnt sacrifices. There's not animals brought up here to be burnt in the Lord's name. Our lives are them sacrifices. And to live in sin, that's just like offering a defiled animal. To live nothing of God and to try not to honor His name. We learn that in this passage in Romans 12, that they go together, because it shows you that how the sacrifices were so corrupt and twisted of something they wasn't supposed to be at all, and how we are supposed to sacrifice to God our lives. The priests were going through the motions. They were dishonoring God by not giving Him their all. We need to give our all to the one and only holy God. I got three ways that you can have a healthy relationship with God. You can be that sacrifice and honoring to God. The first one is give your body to God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Right there, write your scripture, God's word. And if you believe God's word to be true, every word of God to be true, He tells us right there to glorify Him with our bodies. The Old Testament was dead sacrifices, but now we are living sacrifices. I pulled out two examples. There's surely more than two, Noah being one. Two examples of a living sacrifice. And I'll start with one. It was Isaac. I don't know how many of you know Isaac, Abraham's son. God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, take him to the mountain and lay him upon a stone. And I want you to sacrifice him. Take his life. No more to be on this earth. Sacrifice him to me. I don't know. Surely we have some parents in here. I don't know how many of you could comprehend that. If God told you to take your child's life, to sacrifice your child's life in His name. Abraham agreed and he took him up to the mountain. And Isaac, this is how Isaac was delivering sacrifice in the situation. He seen his father with a dagger and he laid upon a stone. He laid there and he watched his father raise the dagger up. And Isaac could have got up. He could have ran away. But he sacrificed. He was going to sacrifice his life. And he didn't even hear it from God. His father had heard it from God. He heard the message that God wanted him to portray through Isaac, to sacrifice Isaac. So he laid there upon a rock and was going to let his life be taken. So in that instance, he was living sacrifice. And the second one I have is Jesus, probably the biggest one. Jesus died on the cross. Today, Jesus is a living sacrifice in heaven. He's an advocate before God's throne. There's two reasons why we should, and it's right here in Scripture. It is the right response to what God has done for us, all the blessings He's bestowed upon us. Don't you think He deserves to have us? Because that's what He wants. He don't need us. Jesus, God does not need us. He does not need us. He created light with Word. He said, let there be light, and there was light. We can't even create light. We can create a light bulb. That's about it. He don't need us. He wants us. So don't you think we owe that to Him? In other words, it's an act of worship. We stand here and we sing songs, and that's worship. The Bible tells us to worship through song. But it also tells us right here, This is your true and proper worship, to sacrifice your life and your body to God. That is a true and proper worship. The second one, give God your mind. The world's always looking to control your mind. There's so many things in the world, money, value, a bunch of handheld possessions, cars, houses, all these things, all these luxuries. We think they're luxuries. And that twists and perverts the truth. It gets in your mind. And you think you need them. You think the only thing you need is Jesus. It perverts your mind. Right here in Matthew 17:2, it says, "There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light." The word transform is the same as transfigure in Matthew 7:2. It has come into the English language as metamorphosis. It describes a change from within. In that, he was transformed within. The light was saw through him by the people around him, because he let Jesus change him from within. And he realized that's the only thing he needed to live. He didn't need money. He didn't need cars. But the Holy Spirit changes your mind by releasing the power from within. The world wants to change your mind, so it exerts pressure without. But the Holy Spirit changes your mind by releasing power within. If God controls your thoughts, thinking you're a transformer, all of your thoughts will be of God. God's word helps you think of Him like this. If you dig into God's word daily, that's one thing we have, and people take it for granted. People take God's word for granted. We have the opportunity to sit down every day and study God's word and to realize who He is. We get to know Him without actually sitting here and seeing Him and looking at Him and talking to Him. That is our communication with God. That's how He talks to us. He can sit here and talk to me all day, and I get to know Him like that. But people don't see that God's word is just like Him sitting here talking to me. If you dig into God's word daily, He talks to you daily. Every word of God's word is perfect. It is without blemish. And He can sit there and speak multitudes to us through His word. And that's something that's just taken for granted. And that's how God can transform you in your mind. Your thinking can be of God if you know His word, if you study His word. Romans 7:15-21. So I skipped ahead. The third one. I'll move to the third one. Give Him your will. Give God your will. Your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. Your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. Whatever you set your mind to, and I'm not talking about just of God. It can be without God. But God wants it to be of Him. When you set your mind to something, it is in your will to accomplish it. So in your mind, if I wanted to be an NFL athlete, if I wanted to be something of that nature, I would set my mind to it. And that would be my will, and my mind would transform into that. I want to be an NFL lineman. I would set my mind to that. That would be my will. And my mind would control my body. I would train. I'd push myself daily as hard as I could, because it's my will. And my will controls my mind. And my mind controls my body to push myself to be that. And when you give God your will, when you lay your will down to God daily, every morning you wake up, God, you have me. I am yours today. Today is your day for my will. You give Him your will. He changes your mind. And once your mind's changed, your body's changed. Not a physical metamorphosis. You're not physically, visually transformed into something that you're not. But your body, its actions are of God, because your mind is of God. And all because your will is of God. Only when we yield to God, we get the power to defy the world and follow Jesus. I don't know if you figured it out yet, and it took me a while to figure it out, but until you give your will to God, you don't have the power to do what God wants. You can't do it on your own. You may be alcoholic. You can't stop drinking without the power of the Holy Spirit in you, without Jesus transforming your life. You can't stop. You can go to all the rehabs you want, but you're going to come right back to it. It's like how you were raised. If I was raised to eat peanut butter sandwiches every morning, I'd probably be sick of them. But when I got older, you always come back to how you were raised. It's hard to break that cycle, that habit. The only way you can do that is to yield to God. Yield to God. And let Him change you. Because He's the only one who can. You can't do it on your own. Romans 7:15-21. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it. But it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desires to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. What does it? So I find the law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. There's a lot of do's in there. Very confusing me reading it. I can only imagine your mind. You weren't even looking at the text. Every day I find myself doing stuff I don't want to do. Every day I find myself doing stuff that is not of God. But with God in me, He helps me turn from it. He helps me to make a 180-degree turn away from it. Because He's the only one who can. And until you yield your life to God, you're not going to be able to. It's not in your power. Marinating prayer is a way to give God your will. It's a way to be with God. That's our way. He talks to us through His Word. I can't call Him on the phone. I can't call God on the phone and ask Him how He's doing. The only way I can do that is pray. And He will respond. You may be sitting here this morning and you've never yielded to God. Never. You never yielded to God. And you may have heard it 100 times, or maybe this is your first time hearing it, the gospel, yielding to God. What is it to yield to God? What is it to give Him your will and your mind, your body? What is it to do that? It's to let God move into your life and transform you. I remember the night of my salvation. I was on a trip to Tennessee. And I had a rough childhood. And Phil Winningham, pastor I'm under at Boone Chapel, he preached that conference for years. This past year was the first time he had not preached it. But the year before that, he was preaching it. And I sat in the back, and I went on the trip just to hang out with some friends. Maybe pick up a few chicks. I don't know what I was thinking. And God used that to make me yield. I sat there and in the back of that big old hotel. It was a big old stage, and there may have been 500 or 600 people in there. I sat there and my dad, that was the rough part of my childhood. I sat there and thought about my dad. And Brother Phil was preaching on where you're going to go when you die. Did you live for God? Did you surrender your life to Jesus? And I sat there and thought about it. And I was like, I haven't did that. And did my dad. And as I sat there and I cried like a baby. I sat there and I realized my dad didn't do that. He was, growing up, I never seen Jesus in him. And that night, I gave my life to Jesus because I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to be something not of Jesus. I want people to see Jesus. I don't want my child to sit there and to think of me and to say, is Jesus in him? Does he have Jesus in him, living in him? It was a terrible thought. And I sat there for a good 20 minutes. And I lifted my hands and I cried out. And I said, Jesus, I want you to move into my heart. Because I don't want to be like that. I want my will to be in you. And when we stop rambling, maybe you're sitting here and you want to do the same. I'll ask Brother Doug to come up, maybe sing a couple verses. The altar's open. It doesn't matter who's sitting beside you. I don't care who they are. Unless they're Jesus himself, they cannot save you. Do not be embarrassed. Do not let them decide for you whether you get up and surrender to Jesus Christ. Don't let them do it. I see so many times at my church, we have to, our own youth has their own worship Wednesday nights. And you can sit there and when my youth pastor, Brother Matt, calls for the altar, he tells them to come and surrender to Jesus. You can sit there and look at youth around me and they sit there and look at their friends. And their friends aren't moving. And neither are they. Because they are embarrassed. Susie was in church Wednesday night. Susie was in church and she got up. She's crazy. I don't believe in God. Why is she living in God? So Susie didn't get up because her friends think she's crazy. But they're crazy because Susie was being called by Jesus. And you're not promised another calling. You're not. Jesus, God doesn't promise to call you. This could be your last call. You know if God is dealing with you. So come and do business with God. Surrender your life to Jesus.